We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Come on, every campus, let's pray. Father, as we come around your word this morning, speak through me and speak to your wonderful people. Father, I thank you for everything that you're doing in and through Wave Church. And I pray, Lord, that people will come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray we'll walk out of here today better equipped, more knowledge, more wisdom in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. All right, give five people a high five as you're being seated in every single, come on, Norfolk, come on, you get around these seats, get out of your seat. Seaboard Road, you can do it, come on. Amen. L.A., we love it, L.A. campus. They have got a bright future. Amen. How many collects things? How many people are collectors? Who's a collector? Like, you like collecting things. Let me see. Do we have any collectors in the house? In the house? Okay, so what do you collect? Devin, did you have what do you collect? Sneakers. You collect sneakers. Okay, it takes all kind to make a sneakers. I've never heard of anybody collecting sneakers. Anybody here collect guns? Who's a gun collector? Anybody here? Toby, you're a gun collector. I looked at you and thought, you're a gun collector. Praise the Lord. Good thing to know. Don't ever rob his house. Be the wrong house. There are some people who have a gun and they're just waiting for a chance to use it. And, you know, that's not Toby, by the way, but there are some people. Anybody else? Who collects stamps? Anybody collect stamps? Okay, no one. Baseball cards? Anybody collect coins? Anybody collect motorcycles? I love motorcycles. I'm a motorcycle guy. But I actually I'm just doing this series on wisdom, and this is the last week we're doing it. I launched it off at actually 1 month ago, the first Sunday of November, and since then we've had Josh Kelly. Did you enjoy Josh preaching on the wisdom? And Joe Riddle? I was in South Africa and I was watching Joe preach before I went out to preach myself, and I got so inspired watching Joe preach. I think I preached a little bit better after hearing Joe preach. And so, and then of course we had Mike Kai, but I wanted to finish this out because I collect wisdom thoughts. I actually do. I'm a collector of thoughts that are pertaining to wisdom. But let me show some people different collections. For instance, did you know the largest stamp collection is a complete collection of the 19th century postage stamps valued at roughly $40 million. It is the largest and the most valuable private collection of the United States stamps in the world. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? How many think if you had that in your repertoire, you'd be pretty proud of yourself, wouldn't you? $40 million. Or, for instance, baseball cards. You know, the most expensive baseball card, 1909 T206. Honus Wagner sold, this baseball card right there, sold for $3.12 million. You never know. You could have this baseball card in your baseball. You should go look and see just in case you got it. Or did you know that the most expensive piece of art, literally, that's ever been sold, sometimes things are what's called priceless, where they don't have a value, but of history where someone has paid, the most expensive piece of art is literally done of Salvatore Mundi by the Italian artist Leonardo da Vinci, and it sold, listen to this, for $450.3 million. That's almost half a billion dollars, a piece of art. And yet in it all, I see all that, and as impressive as those collections are and as valuable as they are, did you know the Bible says that wisdom is more precious and more valuable than gold? Did you know that the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing? And I was just thinking about different Bible verses, and let me give you my Bible verse when I think about wisdom, and this is the very first thought that comes to mind when I think about wisdom in Scripture. It's Proverbs 24, and it says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding is it established." See, you build a house by wisdom, but you establish it with understanding. Are you hearing me? Wisdom's there, And you can build a house by wisdom, but it is established through understanding. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Anybody getting the point here? Wisdom is valuable. It says, a wise man, has great power, and a man of knowledge increases in strength. Maybe you feel like you didn't have the best start in life. Maybe you felt like you didn't really do well in high school. You didn't go to college. Maybe you feel like in some areas there's a deficiency there. And yet, could I just encourage you today? The Bible says, listen to this. I want you to catch it. A man of knowledge increases in strength. I got good news for you today. You can get stronger if you'll go after wisdom. Amen. And look what it says here. For waging war, you need guidance. Don't go to battle without getting some wisdom. It says, and for every victory, there are many advisors. So I actually, over the years, have collected, honestly now, wisdom thoughts. Matter of fact, I have at least 50 of them. And I'm not going to give you all 50 today because we'll be here all afternoon. But I want to give you as many as I can. I don't even have 50 written down here. And I want to give you as many as I can in this next little while together. How valuable is wisdom to you? Is she more valuable than that stamp collection? Is she more valuable than whatever it is that you value here on earth? How much have you gone after wisdom? How much have you sought for it? How much have you asked for it? If you were to gauge it, how would you measure it in your life? How intentional is it? How valuable is it? How much have you actively pursued it? Have you ever sought wisdom and counsel? Do you understand its value? By wisdom, a house is built. Through understanding, it is established. Amen? And with knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and valuable treasures. In other words, listen to me now carefully. This is actually saying that you can look at a person's life and even consider their home, and that would be, in some regard, a statement, a reflection, a manifestation of the wisdom they've gained in their life. And I don't believe that's just speaking literally, but I believe it also speaks figuratively. You build your life not just by how nice your house is and what's in your house, but your life is your whole family. It's your relationships. Would you say amen to that? So are you ready for this? You all ready for this? Now, in the 9 o'clock, I'm just going to tell you, I think if Lazarus raised from the dead, some of them might have gone, oh, praise the Lord, look at that. They were so quiet. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to take notes. I'm going to ask everybody here, because if you want to get knowledge, you want to get wisdom, you got to write it down. But I'm going to ask you to do two things, because you are I'm talking now to every campus. Come on, Seaboard Road as well. I want you to listen to me. I want you not just to take notes, but every now and again, saying amen to a preacher is like saying skitchum to a dog. Go get him. You with me here? So if you could let the occasional bit of encouragement come out, that would be good. Can we give it a shot? All right, number one. Okay, you ready? Wisdom thoughts from me, okay? Number one, never complain about what you're willing to permit. I often say to business people and to pastors and to different leaders who have teams of people they lead, I say, don't blame them, train them. Then people, the worship, they say, people just don't worship. Never complain about something you're willing to permit. Amen? In the corporate world, my staff, I just can't seem to get them to do what needs to be done. Never complain about what you're willing to permit. I got to lose weight. Never complain about what you're willing to permit. What is in your refrigerator? Some people say, Pastor, would you rebuke the devil? He's trying to kill me with my heart attack. Mm-hmm. We might just need to rebuke the knife and fork as well. Pastor, pray for me. My finances are upside down. Mm-hmm. Tear up your credit card. You need plastic surgery. You need that thing surgically removed from your wallet in Jesus' name. Never about fear, anxiety, depression, loneliness. Don't complain about something you're willing to permit. Poverty. Come on, somebody. Okay, number two. Are you ready for this? Number two. Giving is proof that you have conquered greed. These are just some wisdom thoughts. Giving is proof that you've conquered greed. Matter of fact, I just took a team of people with me, small team, to Uganda. And what I do when I travel overseas is always I take a few $100 bills with me just in case it's needed for a situation, a cause that I might need cash on me at the time. And so I remember the very first service at Watoto, Sharon and I were there with a couple of the guys from Wave Church, a couple of our, actually all of them were previous military. And so one had 30 years of military experience, another one worked up in the Pentagon, another guy does ballistic missile kind of stuff, another guy was a Navy SEAL. And so interesting group of people to travel with. I felt very safe, to be honest with you. But it was funny, the first service, Watoto, seeing what Watoto does, I got to tell you, all those $100 bills went in that first offering. I just so love what we do and how we work in Uganda with the Skinners. And I want to tell you, giving is proof that you've conquered greed. If you want to know, just, and by the way, I'm not just talking about you saw a homeless guy or a homeless person and you gave him $5 and that was it for the whole year. But I'm talking about, if you want to know, are you someone who actually has conquered greed? Do an audit on your finances. Have a look at your credit card. Have a look at where your money's going out of your bank account. And if all your money is going to pay for the mortgage, pay for the insurance, pay for a car, pay for the social club, pay for all your hobbies and interests, and it's all about you, come on, that's an indication. But if there's a reflection of, number one, your tithe, which belongs in the house of God, I'm always amazed when they do the statements of politicians giving, and they say, this person's given away 2% of their income, and if you're really a good politician to a charity, you may have given away 3%. And they claim to be God-fearing, church-attending Christians. And I'm thinking, there should be at least a tithe in the house of God. There should be at least that. Like, I'm not applauding that. Giving is proof that you've conquered greed. And don't just make life all about you. Amen. Number three, listen to this one. I like this one. Patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. Patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. I've never have been, and I never will be, one of those quick, impulsive, led by my emotions, just in the spur of the moment, do something. I don't want to be that person, and I've learned that patience has saved me from a whole lot of heartache. Take the time to investigate it. Take the time to get to know it. Take the time to get knowledge on it. Don't just jump in. It's not ready, fire, aim. Amen? So patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. Do you know, sometimes people say about me that Steve is against people dating. Nothing could be further from the truth. Listen to me now. Everybody in every campus, I want you to catch this. I am for people dating. How will you ever know who the right person is if you don't date? Amen? Like, you young guys, open your eyes. There's some lovely young ladies in this building. And all you got to do is get the courage to go up to them and say, can I take you out for a coffee? You've already got to know. If you don't ask, you might just get a yes if you do. So I'm not against dating. What I am cautious of and what I am known to be saying is, don't, when you meet someone, just fall in love and 2 weeks later you're saying you're going to get married. Because I actually think you need to take time to get to know the real person. Because somebody can hide latent weaknesses that you may not be actually dialed into if you just fall in love. And then all of a sudden you're married and you find out you married Freddy Krueger or Jason and you've got Nightmare on Elm Street and your life is the movie Scream. And it's all because you were just, a guy just fell in love. It was love at first sight. No, no, no. There are seasons that God puts cycles in. Okay, a whole year, four seasons is 1 year. Summer, it's when you look at somebody and the sun's shining, everything looks great. But wait till all the leaves start falling off. Fall. But then it gets worse. Then winter comes. Ooh, and you're freezing. See how somebody handles that time. Then when things start blooming again, that's 1 year. So my thought is for young people, don't marry someone for at least to see four seasons. Get to know the person in all the seasons of their lives. It's just wisdom. We met online. We got married. Now, there are times that does happen, and it does work, but that ought not to be the way in which we live our life, by wisdom. Because listen to it one more time. Listen to it carefully. Patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. I had a guy, some people must think I'm stupid. I had a guy write to me just this week, an email, my personal email. So he obviously figured out how to get to my personal email. And it was one of those promises where if you listen to this and do what this says, you will make $3,000 a day for the rest of your life. Guarantees that you will make $100,000 a month. Over the course of 12 months, it's $1.2 million. Guarantees it. This guy, this business guy. And he's writing. And here's how it works. Now, see, I'm all about, I want advisors. If I'm going to do anything, I'm looking for counsel. I'm gonna talk to people that I love and respect. I'm talking to a Toby Harris. I'm talking to a Dr. Joe Monaco. I'm talking to people who I feel like have got wisdom in their life. But no, this video said you've got to watch this and you've got to commit to it within the next 45 minutes. Once you've watched this video goes down, you'll never see it again. You've got to commit. He goes, I'm like other people. I'm not like other people. I'm not here to rip you off. He goes, I guarantee you. And the moment he said, you got to decide before this video ends and commit to it, I already turned it off. You know why? Because patience is the weapon that reveals deception. And I'm not going to let somebody manipulate me. And one person rang me and said, Steve, I guarantee you, if you get involved in this, you'll never lack for finances. You'll never need to ask God for anything ever again. So this person's implying they're more powerful than God. And I looked at him and I said, listen, I was talking to Jehovah Jireh this morning. You sound nothing like him. God is my provider. Amen. So I want you to catch it. Patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. Amen. Number four. By the way, that's a good thing for people being too quick to judge events that are happening around the world and happening in the United States with shootings and stabbings and all the rest of it. Because sometimes you just got to wait for all the story to come out. Okay. All right. Number four. God will never advance your instruction beyond your last act of obedience. God will never advance your instruction beyond your last act of obedience. Sometimes people say, I haven't heard from God lately. Oh, that's so simple. I can help you. Do the last thing he told you to do. Because sometimes God's going to go, I'm not saying anything else until you do what I just, forgive. Pick that phone up. Reconcile. Amen. So God will never advance your next instruction until you do the last thing he told you. It's just good wisdom. Amen. Number five, when you change your focus, you change your emotions. When you change your focus, the Bible says, as a man thinks, Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever you're thinking about will be what's in your life. I'm afraid I'll get cancer. I was talking to a guy he drove me this morning down to the Seaboard Road campus and drove me back here between services, having a bit of fun driving up and down, doing the gauntlet on the first Sunday of the month. It's a lot of fun, I got to tell you. And he said to me, he's had two accidents with trailer tractors. And of course, he's from Pennsylvania. He's one of our college students. And he goes, man, I tell you, I got this fear now. Every time I go near a tractor trailer. And I said, dude, come on, you got to get your focus off that. You got to beat that thing. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The moment you see a tractor trailer, you're thinking you're having a collision with it. Somebody says, oh, my mother got cancer, my father got cancer. It's only a matter of time before I got cancer. Hey, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you change your focus, you can change your emotions. I talk to young people. I'm lonely, and I get it. You are. I hear you. Listen to me. I feel you. I'm depressed. Okay, I got you. I feel you. I have an answer. Talk to me. What music are you listening to? And they tell me, and I go, stop it. What TV shows are you watching? Stop it. Who are the people you're hanging out with? Stop it. If you can just change, the Bible says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let me tell you how important faith environments are. Jesus, dying on the cross, looks down at his mother and thinks, who's going to take care of mom? I'm the oldest son. He was called rabbi. He was called teacher. He was the one that's responsible for the health and the on-being, sustainability of his family. And he's on the cross, and he knows James is his half-brother. And he says to his mother, Mom, look at me. Over there, that guy, his name's John. John, this is your mother. Mom, that's your son. Jesus chose John over his own family because he knew James was not a believer, and yet he knew the importance of a faith environment and took care of his mother and said, this is your son. John, that's my mom. Now she's your mom. Change your focus and you can change your emotions. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Turn off the news. For God's sake, for heaven's sake, stop listening and reading nonsense. Let's get educated. Let's have opinions, but don't drink the Kool-Aid. That's why we're so split and divided in the United States today. We just keep hearing the same old from the people that think like we think. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm going there. Amen. Listen to this. Number six, watch this. I like this one. Wisdom, collecting thoughts. You ready? Better a living dog than a dead lion. Ecclesiastes, anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. How many would agree with that? I mean, if you want someone watching your property, what would you prefer? A lion that's dead or a dog that can yap? You with me here? Some people, their house is a dead lion. They live in a house they can't afford. I mean, I'm not against debt. I think you're going to buy a house, you're probably going to get some debt. It's about affordable debt. It's about actually having a living dog debt, not a dead lion debt. Some people are up to so much into debt, in their nostrils in debt, that if God told them to give $5, they wouldn't have it to give to anyone. So the Bible says it's better to have a living dog than it is to have a dead lion. And sometimes the car we drive, it's a dead lion. It's money that could have been used to pay off your house quicker. It's money that could have been used to live a little bit more of a blessed life. But instead of that, you've got a dead lion. And you don't have the means to do it all. And it's like you've got to be a master of cash flow and balancing and stress and pressure. And I just want to say to you, better to have a car with a couple of grand that you don't have any debt on it. Oh, you can have the college degree on your wall. I went to Harvard. Mm-hmm. You'll have a debt that goes with it and you will pay it for the next 25 years of your life. Or you can have a degree of going to ODU. And I know young people, all they care about, what school did you go to? That's true when you're going to school and picking a school. When you're out of school, did you get a degree? Toby, am I right? Did you get a degree? And that's what they're interested in. But we'll spend the next 20 years with a dead lion wrapped around our neck rather than a living dog. Just principles of wisdom. When it comes to dating, I was talking to a guy in South Africa and he said, Steve, I just can't get a nice girl. And we were out on the border of Botswana and I may have been doing a nature walk. There may have been some animals out there. That I may have had a pair of binoculars that look more like a scope, if you know what I'm saying. And I may have been walking out with this guy who may have been what's called a PH. And I'm not saying he was, but he may have been a professional hunter. And we were just going for a nice leisurely walk. And as he looked down, he said, Steve, stop. And I go, what? He goes, look down there. I said, what? He goes, lioness prince. There's a lion out here. Listen, you got to stay real close because if she comes at us, I've got one chance. How many know I was literally almost on his back? I'm like, and then I thought, I'm good. I can run faster than him. Praise the Lord. You'd think like that too if you were out there, I promise you. Can I just say, listen to it carefully now. He said to me, this guy, he said, Steve, I just can't meet a nice girl. I said, well, we're in the middle of nowhere. You never will meet a nice girl out here. I said, do you live here all the time? He goes, pretty well. He goes, but see, when I'm in the city, you know, I meet these girls and I pick the prettiest girl in the bar. Man, she's the life of the party. I said, listen to me, my friend. The best place to find a great wife for your life is, number one, you find Jesus and you be the best person you can possibly be for your future bride. But number two, get yourself in church. Come on. You want some girl who's a trophy wife, pin-up poster, she can drink the most beer? It's a dead lion. I'm not calling the girl in church a dog, but you understand the difference. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. All right, here we go. Listen to the next one. The secret to your future is hidden in your daily routine. The secret to your future is hidden. This is wisdom thoughts. Is hidden in your daily routine. You know, for some people, just even getting out of bed and out of bed and having to brush their teeth is a chore. Oh God, I gotta brush my teeth. Yeah, please do us all a favor. Have a Tic Tac. Amen. Some people like getting out of bed and I gotta take medication. I'm on meds, and they think somehow the meds are an enemy to their life. No, no, meds are your friend. Your enemy is the illness that the meds are countering. I gotta take medication. And the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. How do you get up in the morning? Do you wait till the very last minute where everything's rushed and you go to work with your hair oil and you're driving, you're doing your, you know, hair in the car and you're shaving in the car and then you get to work and you're a scramble fest? The secret of your future is in your daily routine. Oh, I couldn't get out of bed earlier. I'm so tired. Go to bed early and you'll get out of bed earlier. The secret of your future, there's no mystery to success. It's just learn how to do everyday life well. Amen. Listen to this one. Number eight, those who cannot increase you will eventually decrease you. Don't hang around with turkeys. Come on, everybody. Number nine, you will never leave where you are until you decide where you want to be. You will never leave where you are. You'll never leave poverty, loneliness, depression, anxiety, debt, weight. You'll never leave where you are until you decide where you want to be. It's the power of vision. Listen to this. Number 10, when fatigue walks in, listen to this, faith walks out. That's why I say to people, never, listen to me, listen, every campus, watch this, never, I'm talking to people this morning, never make a life-changing decision in a valley. Don't get off a train in the tunnel. When fatigue walks in, faith walks out. Amen. I'd go to a church who taught this. Matter of fact, I was in a church where a pastor taught this. I'd be sitting down the front row. I'd be shouting him down. That's brilliant. Listen to this. You will never possess, number 11, what you are not willing to pursue. You'll never possess what you're not willing. Let me give you another way of putting it. You ready for it? I actually said this one day in church and someone went and got it tattooed on their wrist. Desire is proven in pursuit. Desire is proven in pursuit. I can't talk to you about how many people want a better marriage, but they haven't read one book on marriage. They haven't been to the marriage builders class that we offer right here. They haven't taken time to go away, maybe on a marriage retreat and a getaway, to work on their marriage. You can tell me all you want what you desire, but the proof of your desire is what you pursue after. Amen. And you can tell me what you want. You can cry. But really what you're after, you pursue. Come on, somebody. Amen. Number 12, what you repeatedly hear, you will eventually believe. what you repeatedly hear. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You're the product of your thought life. Amen. Is this helping anybody? Okay, number 13, what you respect, you will attract. Whatever you respect, you will attract. This girl says, how do I keep getting all these losers? Maybe you're a rescuer. Maybe you saw your father needed rescuing and nobody ever rescued him. So now you want to rescue this guy, the alcoholic, the addict. So how could you say that? I grew up in that family. I can speak on that subject. I can look you in the eye. And I know an enabler when I see one. I know a codependent when I see one. I know people who are very controlling and manipulative. I grew up in that family. Are you hearing me? I can spot them a mile away. And I'm not living under some curse of it or some victim of it. It's actually given me another weapon to be a better leader, to help people, to help bring people out of those things. What you respect. People say, Pastor, how do you get so many great, talented singers and musicians in the church and the media team and, you know, the creativity and how do you get business people come to wave? I've had pastors send me, how do I get rich people in my church? I'm going, you already won't. You asking that question, all you want is rich people because you want rich people because you just want their money. They will spot you a mile away and they will run from a church like yours. You hearing me? I want everybody. I want wealthy, poor, drug addicts, pimps, prostitutes. What you respect, you will attract. Amen? I love leaders. I do. I love our military. Anytime something talks about a military, I get choked up. I get teary. I love them. I honor them. I think we are living in the freedom that we live today because of their selfless sacrifice and service, and they ought to be applauded. You got to know me. I'm not homophobic in any way, shape, or form. But you know, I had one guy, commander of a SEAL team, and there's an expression amongst the SEAL community. And he walked up to me one day, and we've been doing life together for several years. I was involved in him coming to Christ, and he walked up to me. He said, Pastor, look at me. And if anybody understands military, they'll understand the comment. He goes, I'd squeeze your butt any day. And I looked at him, I said, I know what that means. Coming from you, thank you. Any other guy says that to me, I'm going to slap him. But what it means is before you go into a door and you kick down a door, you got to know someone's got your back. And I want to tell you something. What you respect women, and I mean this, and like a single guy, don't just see them objects of sex. You respect them. The game will come to you. Amen? You respect money. It will come to you. Come on. What you respect, you'll attract. What are you attracting? What you're attracting is a reflection of what you're respecting. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, my time is up. Men decide their habits decide their future. What you fail to master in life eventually will master you. Amen? Your emotions, your anger, your lack of self-discipline. Listen to this one, number 16. This one's really good. Never spend more time on a critic than a good friend. Never spend more time on a critic than on a good friend. Amen, church? Never spend more time on a critic than you would a good friend. And number 17, and this is honestly my last point because time's up. Time's up. Never discuss your problem with someone incapable of solving it. We go around trying to tell everybody all their problems, and none of the people we talk to, they got nowhere. Ability. This. You talk to people who can help you. To advisors, a war is won. Guidance. People who've been where you want to go. In a company, you go around talking about your boss, and and the problems you're having with your boss. Well, the people who you were, they're not capable of solving that. All you're doing is sowing discord, which is what God hates. Amen. The Bible says if you've got something against someone, go to him. It doesn't say go to all your friends. Never talk to someone about it. Don't tell someone about your problems that's not capable. You've just burdened them with something that they are incapable of solving. So they're my 17 wisdom thoughts that I've collected and prepared for Wave Church as we want to do. Anybody can say they got something out of some of those messages. Amen. I'm on every campus. I'm going to hand back to the campus pastors. We love you guys. We appreciate you. I believe that God, this year, I believe God's going to open doors for us. I'm prophesying something that I believe is in the works in the heavenly realms. We're going to see God open a new door in California for us this year. Wave Legacy. Amen. I'm prophesying. Anybody believing with me? Amen. 20 campuses. I actually, to be honest with you, I feel like we can blow through 20. I really do. Legacy 2020. I believe that God has something great for Wave Church. You're a part of it. Look at me now. Look at me. Could I pray for you? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I know by now, hopefully by now, every campus pastor has taken their service back now and closing it out. But I want to close it out here, and I want to close it out with everybody online. Can I have your undivided attention? Look at me. I got saved when I was 17. I'm now 56. I think I'm 56. I think I am. I was born in 63. Does that mean I'm 56? God, I hope I'm not 57. Nothing wrong with being 57. But there is something wrong with it when you're 56 and you think you're 57. So I guess that's now quite a few years of having met Jesus. For all the years, I've tried my very best. I don't feel like I've done a good job. I've tried my very best to tell people how wonderful Jesus is. He is the Prince of Peace. You're all upset and your emotions and you feel confused. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe someone betrayed you. Maybe in a marriage situation, a very close family situation. You feel betrayed. You feel let down. Maybe a church hurt you. Churches can do that. Amen. Keep coming to this church long enough, guaranteed. It'll only be a matter of time. Amen. Come on. Jesus said it is impossible that offenses will come. It's going to happen. Amen. I don't know. You've looked to someone, a spouse or a family member, a loved one, and you feel betrayed. You feel let down. Don't look to that. Listen to me. Look to Jesus. He's kind and he's powerful. He's loving and he's wise. He's gracious and he's forgiving and he's merciful. And if you fall down, this is what Jesus says, I'm going to pick you right back up again. Oh, some people will try and kick you when you're down. Some people will tell you, stay down there, you belong there, but never Jesus. Jesus will always take you by the hand. Come on, walk on the water with me. I'm going to teach you how to walk on the water. I'm going to teach you how to do life well. My friend, do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Have you ever had a life-changing encounter? Not with the church. Jesus, I pray, is in our worship. Jesus, I pray, is in our word. Jesus, I pray, is in all that we say and all that we do. But at the end of it all, it's not the music. It's not the preacher. It is Jesus who is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I'm just here for a short window. My life is just but a mist. But he is here forever and ever and ever. And he takes you by the hand and he picks you up. And he says, come on, son, daughter, let's run. Let's do life. Let's make a difference. Doesn't matter how bad you've been, how good you've been. We all need him. And I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I don't know him as you speak of. I don't know how you came to be to church this morning. Maybe through the TV show. Maybe a friend brought you. Maybe you just kept driving by and thinking, what's going on in that building? Some people think we're a supermarket. Some people think we're a fitness center. But I tell you this, yesterday I went to Walmart and I brought my two granddaughters some Christmas presents. I won't say what it is, but I got them some really nice Christmas. I went to Walmart with the expectation of walking out with what it is I wanted. And I would think it would be inconceivable that you would come to Wave Church and you didn't walk out with Jesus. Because let me tell you something, He's here and He's available to you today. Can I pray for you? I know it's a scary thought, but look at me. I know, I have to look at me every day in the mirror. Some days I look in the mirror and I just go, Steve Kelly, you are handsome. And the mirror says, amen. Some days the way I preach and the way some people don't respond, I just say to myself, Steve, you're a great preacher. And the mirror says, you sure are, man. I'd go to hear you speak. What you repeatedly hear, you'll eventually believe. Can I pray for you? I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but just where you sit, just take your hand in a moment. When we close our eyes, when we pray, just put your hand in the air and say, that's me, Steve. Pray for me. That's all I want to do. I want to pray for you. Amen. Already people are raising their hands. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, I'm looking for you right now. God bless you. Where are you? Give me a wave. Give me a wave. Yeah, I see that hand. Yeah, I see that hand. Right up the very back. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on, lift it. Lift it right now. If you haven't lifted your hand. Yes, sir. I see that hand. Wonderful. Anybody else? Come on, lift it right. We haven't even prayed. God is moving before we even ask people to pray. Church, one more time. Let's give anyone else an opportunity. Come on, if that's you and you want to lift your hand, would you lift it now? I'm looking for you. God bless you. Right there. Anybody else? Wave it. Wave it. Yeah, God bless you. Yep, God bless you. Yep, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. My last call. My last call. Come on, anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Church, I know we've clapped, but let's give God praise. Come on. Amen. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.